Today we're beginning a series on the subject of the church, and today's message is entitled The Church, a Gathered People. And we're beginning this series partly because we have had over 5 months when physically we've not been able to meet together. And Sunday worship in our homes, it probably was different for different folk, but for many folk it was maybe very relaxing and comfortable, and particularly maybe a young family, it was maybe more relaxing and comfortable than trying to get people ready and to get out for a certain time on a Sunday morning. And I've got to say, over this past 5 months, my Sundays have never been as relaxing as over that period. Sundays were great. We got up, we had our breakfast, we got washed and ready, and I didn't wear a suit, and we went and we had our service together, and I was free for the rest of the day normally, and Sundays were so relaxing indeed. And so the question might rise, can we not just keep doing that? Can we not just worship at home, have your mug of coffee or tea, and enjoy the service at home in a very relaxing manner? Well, to answer that question, we need to go back to think about what the church is. And it's what our understanding of what the church is that will guide and direct what we do or should do in regards to church life. As in all these issues, there can be many different viewpoints. If we did a wee survey about what way we should do church, I'm sure we'd have many different ideas. But what ultimately matters is what God says. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. So what does he say in his word about what the church should be like and about how we should meet or not? So the first thing I want us to see here today is lessons from the name. The name for church in the original Greek New Testament is the word ecclesia, from which we get such words as ecclesiastical, which means relating to the church, or ecclesiology, which is to do with the doctrine of the church. The word ecclesia comes from two words, ek, meaning out, and kaleo, meaning to call. So the word means that the church is made up of those who are called out by God, called by God to be his special people, to be his different people. It is a word, though, that initially didn't have religious overtones. It could apply to any calling or any gathering of people. For example, if people were called out to vote, this is the word that was used. A good example of how the word ecclesia was used in everyday life is found in Acts 19, which tells us the story of Paul in Ephesus. A great crowd gathered in Ephesus to oppose Paul's ministry. And this was what says, be on the screen in verse 32. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly, ecclesia, was in confusion. And most of them did not know why they had come together. So we see here that the word ecclesia just means an assembly, a gathering of people. And in that incident, what happens, the town clerk, he comes out, he quietens the crowd, telling them they're in danger of being accused of riotous behavior, and he says if they oppose Paul, they should use the lawful means of the court. And this is what it says in verse 39. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly, or ecclesia, the lawful assembly for it. And then it goes on, verse 41, and when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly, the ecclesia. So you get the point of what ecclesia is? It's an assembly. It's a gathering of people. And now, it was initially used as a general word, but as the New Testament goes on, it's a word that came to describe particularly the gathered people of God, the assembly of those who trust in Christ. And so the idea of being a church but not gathering is totally crazy. It goes against what the whole idea of what the church is. The church is the gathered people of God. And so to be a member of the church and not to gather with God's people also goes against the total idea of what the church is. How can you be part of a gathering and don't gather? It's like being part of a football club but don't play football, or part of a sewing club but don't sew. It just goes against the whole idea of what it's all about. Now, I understand in the current situation there will be people due to vulnerability, people due to shielding, who cannot come and meet together with God's people the way they would love to do it and have to meet via online or CD, so forth. And God understands that fully. And I'm sure, though, in such people, if they're walking with the Lord, there will be a hunger to come one day and meet with God's people again. But before we just leave this word ecclesia, I want us to understand there are two different ways it was used about the church in the New Testament. It was used about the local church. So it would be the ecclesia in Ephesus, in Corinth, in Jerusalem, the churches in Galatia. So it could be used about one local church or different churches. But it was also used in a broader sense to stand for all the people of God, all the people of God in the world. Paul spoke regularly in his writings about how he regretted persecuting the church. And by that, he didn't mean just one congregation. He meant the wider church, the whole church, the people of God. When he speaks about the church being the bride of Christ, again, he's not just speaking about one congregation. He's speaking about the whole people of God. And so, in our understanding of the church, we need to have both aspects in mind. The local congregation, which we should be committed to, and then the wider church, which we should be concerned about and love as well. And we need to have a balance. Some people are maybe very committed to their local church, but have no interest in the wider church of Christ. And maybe don't go to an evening service when it's in Trinity or First or Hoggle. That's not right if you're just my church and nothing else. On the other extreme, some people like the wider church and they're maybe spiritual gypsies and drift here, drift there, and aren't committed to their local congregation. That's equally as wrong. We need the right balance of committed to the local church and committed to the wider church also. So, lessons from the name, Ecclesia, the called out people of God, called out to gather together to worship the Lord. Then we're going to think secondly about the gathered in the Old Testament, the church in the Old Testament. Stephen, when he was defending himself in Acts chapter 7, he describes the people of God in the Old Testament at Mount Sinai as the ecclesia, as the church, as the gathered people of God. And so the church didn't begin in the New Testament. The church began in the Old Testament. And being a gathered people of God was worked out in the Old Testament with the three great feasts that the people had to gather together for each year. We'll read here from Exodus 23 where it says, 3 times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall keep the feast of harvest of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. 3 times in the year shall all your meals appear before the Lord God. Now that commandment that 3 times a year the people would meet before the Lord in one big gathering, that was given at Mount Sinai when the people had left Egypt and were traveling to the Promised Land. It was a commandment given for them when they would enter the Promised Land. And after entering the Promised Land, they would disperse to the different corners of that land. And so that they would have unity maintained, so that they would indeed continue this sense of identity of being the people of God, God required that 3 times a year, people from all over Israel would come together to worship God, to meet the God, to keep these great festivals, to remember God's goodness and God's faithfulness to them. But as well as those 3 gatherings each year in Jerusalem, the people of God also formed what were called synagogues locally. These were places for people to come together each week on the Sabbath day to worship God, to learn from God's word, and to meet together for that. Now, when Jesus was here, Jesus, on the Sabbath, it was his practice to go to the local synagogue. Do you know what the word synagogue means? It means the assembly, the gathering, to gather together. So, in the Old Testament, the people sought to keep this sense of being the gathered people of God, to keep it by 3 times a year, a great gathering of all the people together, but then locally in the synagogues as they came together week by week. Then moving to the New Testament, we think of the people gathered in the New Testament. When Jesus started to begin the New Testament church, what way did he go about it? If you were going to start a church in the New Testament, what way would you do it? Well, he called 12 men to come together to be with him. And so for 3 years, these 12 men stayed constantly together, a group of believers who would learn, grow, and serve together. They were a gathered people. Jesus, after he died and rose from the dead, and then after 40 days ascended into heaven, what happened? The disciples continued to meet together. At this stage, there is now a group of 120. You can read about that in Acts 1. They gathered primarily to pray and to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon them to empower them. And then we have the day of Pentecost that comes just after that, when the Holy Spirit arrived in such power, and 3,000 people were added to the church. What did all these new believers do? Well, look at Acts 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So these people who come to a personal faith in Jesus, they didn't go and hide away. They met together as the gathered people of God, to study God's word, to listen to biblical teaching, to pray together, to encourage each other, to serve together. That was the pattern of the church. Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians, a book which is very much about life in the church, one of his most repeated phrases in that book was, "When you come together." He uses it at least 6 times in that letter. He uses also this phrase, "When the church comes together." So the expectation was that the church would come together. I'm not sure if you've been listening to the debate in California at the moment regards churches being fined because they've been meeting together and going against local government restrictions. And there's a debate. One pastor man called Andy Stanley, he was saying, well, the Lord never gave a command to come together. And another pastor, John MacArthur, says, that's absolutely absurd. He was back what we've been thinking about, the ecclesia, the church, the gathered people of God. The people of God gather together. We need to gather together. Paul gives a picture when he's writing to the Corinthians of what they should expect when they come together. And we need to listen to this and take this to heart. He says, but of all prophesy, and sharing God's word, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. And here is the absolutely thrilling and exciting thing about when we come together. Yes, it's encouraging to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's encouraging to sing together. It's encouraging to learn together. But this dynamic of the presence of God among us is the most thrilling thing of all, the most wonderful thing of all. A wonderful promise that when God's people come together, God is there in the midst of us. Yes, God is everywhere. We know that. Where can we flee from his presence? But there's that special promise that when God's people come together in Jesus' name, he is among us. And that's the most thrilling thing. That's why it's good to bring our kids here. It's good for all ages to be here. Why? Because God is here. Jesus is here. What a wonderful and thrilling thing. And Jesus is here to bless, to meet our needs, to feed us spiritually. And this is wonderful encouragement to meet together. And we need to pray that our experience will be more and more a sense of that presence of God among us. We should be praying that as we come to worship, we will be aware and acknowledge the presence of God, and that His Spirit will be moving in power among us. We need to pray for that. But this truth of God being among us is a wonderful encouragement to meet together. And we need to be encouraged to meet together, because the sin within us will say to us, "Ach, just stay at home and don't bother with going today." The devil will say to us, "Ach, you don't need to meet with God's people." The world around us will say, "There's loads of other things you can do today than come to church." We need to be encouraged to do what God calls us to do. The writer to the Hebrews says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So he says, let's encourage each other. Let's spur each other on. Don't neglect meeting together. Come together to do that. And come together, it's important because of the day drawing near. Now, what is the day drawing near? It's the day of Jesus' return. It's the end of the world. It's the day of judgment. It's the day when we will enter into eternity. And so the church meets together as a gathered people to prepare us for eternity, to prepare us for coming into that closer presence of the living God. If we have no desire to meet together, I think one of the reasons is we do not have our minds enough on eternity. We're too focused on just the needs of this life. If we're serious about being ready and being prepared for eternity, which will be forever, whereas this life will be over in a moment, then we will meet together to be ready for that day. And so we've seen the gathered people of God in the Old Testament, the gathered people of God in the New Testament, and then finally we see the gathered in eternity. And so eternity is where God's great plan to have this called out people, the ecclesia, this people who will gather together, will be with Him forever and perfected as they come to be with Him forever. Heaven is where this great plan of God finds fulfillment. The writer to the Hebrews describes coming to heaven in this way. He says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the holy Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly," that word ecclesia again, "the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven." How does he describe heaven? It's the gathering. It's the assembly of God's people. And coming to heaven means coming to be part of that gathering forever. John puts it this way, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and calling out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" You see, our gathering together is to prepare us for that great gathering in glory. Our gathering together should be a foretaste of that great gathering in glory. Who will be those who are in glory? Well, there are those, it says in Revelation 7, who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have come to receive and experience the salvation of Jesus Christ. You can only truly feel part of the gathered people of God on earth when you have experienced that salvation. You'll always feel like an outsider until you have fully embraced Christ as Savior and Lord. And those who are in that great gathering in heaven are those who are saved and have become part of the gathering here on earth. Those who are part of the gathering here together, we prepare for that day. And as I finish, I hope we have seen today and made it clear that the church is the gathered people of God, the gathered people of God in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the gathered people of God in glory. And if we are serious about following Christ, we need to see that. We need to be serious and committed to being part of the gathered people of God together today. Meeting to worship our great God and such encouragement that brings. Meeting to learn together. Meeting to pray together. Meeting to serve together. Are you committed? Are you fully committed to being part of the gathered people of God? Or can you not be fully committed because you're not right with the Lord yet? And you need to come. Come today and embrace Jesus, trusting in his blood for that cleansing that he alone can bring. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being part of the gathered people of God. We thank you, Father, how over lockdown we were able to gather in a virtual way, Father, through the services online. We were able to gather, Father, through the Zoom meetings. We were able to gather through the drive-in services. But, Father, it's lovely that we can come together and see each other face to face, or most of our faces, Lord, once more. And, Lord, we just pray that indeed that even over these next weeks, as we would study this subject of the church, and as we have had this, in a sense, break of meeting together, we would, Father, just in a fresh way, consider what the church is, what the church is meant to do, and what it means to be a member and part of the church. So, O God, for such grace we pray, such help we pray, draw close to us, O Lord, for that purpose. So, Lord, we look to you for the needs of our people. We are aware of people, Father, who are going through maybe difficult times, Father, because of health and folk receiving treatment, family members receiving treatment. Father, we just pray for these folk at home, in hospital, in residential or nursing homes. We just pray that they would know the grace and help of Jesus. We pray for our Kirk session as we meet on Tuesday night, Lord, to think about the way forward, to think about the autumn program, to think about our organizations. And Lord, there's just so many decisions to make. And Lord, we just can't go to a little book and say that this is the right thing to do. We need guidance, Lord, from you. We just pray that particularly for our Kirk session at this time. And Lord, we do pray that in these different days that you would just teach us in a fresh way what it means to be a church and how as a church we reach out to a needy community who need Christ and salvation at this time. So, Lord, we look to you. And, Lord, we just pray you'd meet our needs. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.